All Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922.
Good morning. I love the show. You guys pump me up every morning on the way to work.
Losing ourselves, I'm
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We want to pump you up.
Go, Bills! Let's go!
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
I love Buffalo. Go, Bills!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Football Friday. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase with you here on WGR. We'll be here for Football Fridays for months.
And months, presumably.
It is Football Friday, and it is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the 8s, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. It's not just any season. It's the last season at the current Highmark Stadium. Next year, we'll have a whole new set of routines to learn and get to, but how things change and what to expect this year for that, we bring in Andy Major of the Buffalo Bills, Bills Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience. Andy, good morning. Happy football season.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good. Excited to get to Highmark for the final home opener in the current version of Highmark Stadium. And, you know, I'm always excited to get there and kind of look across the street, Andy. You know, as you guys plan out this year, how often are you in meetings to talk about the rollout of what next year's game days will be?
Yeah, we're in a lot of meetings all the time. I feel like, you know, it's never ending. You know, there's so much going on across the street. You know, as you guys have seen it and our fans have seen it through the first few events we've had here this year, stadium's going up fast. It's really moving along. You know, I like to look at the stadium from Chestnut Ridge. It looks like a spaceship from Chestnut Ridge Park. Mm-hmm. But it's incredible. Yeah, a lot of meetings, a lot of advanced work. And, you know, we still have one more year left in the current Highmark Stadium. So there's a lot we're trying to, you know, make sure we get right this season for the fans and for our team before we head over across the street.
Are you excited to not have to deal with snow removal things as often at the new stadium? I'd say it will never happen, but it seems like it won't happen as often.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. We talk about meetings. We had a meeting about snow removal even yesterday.
Okay.
About the plans and how that's going to work over there. There's going to be a lot less snow, hopefully, for us to have to move out of there, but there still will be snow. It's an open-air stadium, and we'll still have to plan to make sure the field's ready and the fans are safe. So, all in the works.
No snow in the forecast for Sunday night against Baltimore, thankfully.
Don't jinx it.
Hey, maybe later in the season we get some. But all right, Andy, so the opener, what about this game? How are the Bills trying to make this game special? We know about the halftime drone show, but it's a Sunday night opener. It's not just any season. It's not just any opponent. It's not just any game. I mean, this is obviously a big, high-profile event. So what can fans expect coming in to make this the final home opener in this stadium a little more special?
Yeah, you really hit it on the head with the matchup and Sunday Night Football and arguably, you know, maybe the two top teams along with the Chiefs there. But incredibly exciting about Sunday night. We are just as excited as the fans. A lot going on. You mentioned the drone show, which is something that's going to be pretty cool and pretty special for fans to see. But we've got a lot going on with the final season, a commemorative coin, commemorative logo, commemorative patch on the jerseys for the farewell season. You know, a lot of these things will be available in the Bills store. They're doing a commemorative coin for the last ever home opener in the stadium, and that also will be available for fans inside the team store. Commemorative souvenir buckets of popcorn and merchandise and cups. And one really cool thing I think the fans are going to want to really be a part of. At the end of the first quarter, we're going to do a panoramic photo of the entire stadium. Everybody who's in their seats, anybody who's out on the field, there'll be a panoramic photo taken at the end of that first quarter to kind of commemorate the last ever game in Highmark Stadium, the current Highmark. And then fans can tag themselves online once that's up online. And then even 3 days later, I think it's 3 days later, it'll be available in the team store as well. So that might be something pretty cool for us to you know, all be involved. You guys will have to get out of that press box and out of your seats and make sure, you know, you're waving and you're in that photo. It'll be a lot of fun.
I'll be in a seat. Andy, that's not the first time you guys have done this. Like the term gigapixel comes to mind or something. You've done these photos before?
I remember a Miami game, Andy, maybe, but maybe you've done them even more than that.
Yeah, good call. We actually did this a number of years ago. I was talking with our marketing folks, and, you know, it went over really well. The fans really liked it. It was a kind of a, you know, unique thing back at that time. I think it's approaching almost a decade that we've done this.
Yeah.
And, you know, now with the technology, oh, my gosh, you know, the technology would be so great. You know, you'll really be able to zoom in and see yourself pretty clearly in that photo. So it's going to be something special.
So that's end of the first quarter. Is there an in-stadium announcement for like the moment it happens, or is a sweeping panorama happen for like 30 seconds?
Yeah, I think we're going to have some kind of a PA announcement, okay, a real reminder to the fans. You know, we're really excited about that, and I think that'll come out really great. I still have the one from when we did it years ago. It's hanging up in my office. I'm looking at it right now as we speak.
Yeah.
So it'll be a great commemorative item, I think, for fans to remember the home opener.
Very cool. So that's the end of the first quarter, and then halftime, the drone show. Entry this year, any new policies? Sometimes things come down from the league. Sometimes it's a team change about gates or points of entry. What should fans know about that for this year when they're walking in?
Yeah, guys, I mean, pretty similar to what we've seen in the past. Last year, we did add some new walkthrough magnetometers at our gates 5 and 6. This year, we're adding those same new walkthrough magnetometers at gate 2. And we'll have some, you know, spaced out in some other areas. So we're using these as our kind of dry run, test run before we head into the new stadium. But these are called CHEA open gates. They really expedite the fan entry process. It's a little more efficient, obviously a lot safer for fans, more efficient, gets them in a little bit quicker. They don't have to take as many items out of their pockets. They can walk through the magnetometer with their bag. It'll scan and take care of their bag entry. Bags may still need to be checked, of course, but really expedites the process, and we're excited about that. Other than that, you know, our big challenge this year, guys, is parking. Yeah. You know, we lost almost 1,000 plus spaces because of the construction project this year, and we've worked really hard to offset the loss of those spaces with the Erie County, with ECC, even with our parking partners, Premium Parking, the Sheriff, DOT, et cetera. We worked with a lot of different folks to try to add more spaces back, and we're doing that. So we're going to have a lot of additional parking spaces at ECC South. So if fans don't have a parking permit through the Bills or possibly a parking permit through one of the neighborhood lots, and they're just kind of showing up, we recommend ECC as, you know, a really good fallback for fans this year.
Are those lost spots mostly on the side of where the stadium is being built?
Yes, they exactly are. So the north side, it was the old lot 4, guys, and it's this year in the new stadium. It'll be, you might have heard us refer to it as Family Circle. Mm-hmm. So the new Family Circle for the new stadium, where the old lot 4 used to be, is the area we lost for this final season.
Are traffic patterns affected at all, or will those be the same this year? Or any effect to that due to the construction?
No, you know what? The traffic patterns should be very similar, and that's I think the good news for fans. Our fans have been great. I'll be honest; like, this has been a very stressful few years of the construction project, trying to make sure, you know, we're doing everything we possibly can to help our fans park, to get around. You know, last year we were a bit nervous about losing the other parking lot we lost, and how that was going to work with our fans. And you know, we asked our fans, and we're asking them again this year, please have an advanced parking plan, carpool to the best of your ability. I think last year the fans did that. We saw it. And I think for the most part, the ingress, the arrivals, fans were able to find parking in the neighborhood lots. Our partners in ECC and the neighborhood lots, the neighborhood lot owners, they've been great. Whether it's even opening up even a few extra spaces here and there makes a big difference. So big season for us ahead, but we think the fans will, you know, do the same thing. You know, they're going to find their spots. They're going to have a plan, and they'll carpool the best they can. I think they see what we're talking about. Huge project across that street. It's exciting, but it's also, hey, we still have a season here. We still want to be at these amazingly exciting games with the Buffalo Bills as one of the contenders for the, you know, the Super Bowl, and they want to be able to enjoy their tailgating and get into that game as easy as they can.
Andy, once inside, concessions. We saw a graphic going around yesterday about the expensive prices of hot dogs, and someone ranked hot dogs from 1 to 32, and without checking all of the 32 teams in the league and their hot dog prices, I don't know how accurate the graphic was. It did place the Bills as having the most expensive hot dog. Is that report accurate?
Yeah, so we'd love to clear the air on hot dog gate.
All right, but we got a gate.
Hot dogs were in the neighborhood of $6.75 last year. So even our footlongs were $9. So we sell a great Salins hot dog, hot, delicious, and the price is basically around NFL average. So yeah, those prices. I'm not sure where that came from, but we saw that too, and we're kind of shocked that we were right at the top of that list, but. Yeah, definitely not factual.
All right, well, that's good. That's good to know. Also, when it comes to season ticket holders and what they might be expecting, you know, like commemorative stuff, should they expect anything coin in this game? Anything throughout the season? Anything coming their way for more ways to commemorate the stadium?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that one. You know, we are doing a very special and unique season ticket member gift. It's actually on the way now. If fans haven't gotten it yet, they should get it any day here, the next couple of days. I'm not going to say exactly what it is, but I would tell you, I've seen it. I love it. I think it's unique. I think it's very special. I think the fans will really, really like it. I think it's something that, you know, they'll keep forever, honestly. But what's another cool thing about that, Deion Dawkins did some special deliveries of that to kind of help us kick that off. So that might even hit today on our social media sites for fans to get a sneak peek.
All right. Okay.
Very good. What about end of season? I know fans have asked us a lot about this, and I know you've got the question too about, like, I don't know about seats being taken home, but things from the stadium when it closes that season ticket holders or other fans can
this might
have
be a follow-up. Can you chop the bleachers into pieces?
That's what I mean.
Is that going to happen?
It's not like an arena where you could just take all the seats out. Like, there's long bleachers in a lot of the stadium.
No, hey, guys, that's a really great question, and that's something we've been working on, I'll be honest, for almost two seasons now. We've done a lot of research with stadiums that have closed down, teams that have moved. We've talked to a lot of their operations folks, a lot of their security folks. And, you know, we want to have an advanced plan with our seats, our turf, the elements within the stadium. We've worked really closely with Erie County and a few other partners to really roll something special out for the fan base. So I don't have all the details now to share, but there'll be something coming in the next few weeks here very shortly that I think the fans, our season ticket holders, they're all going to get very excited about. But I will say, you know, we are concerned about the security around that situation. You know, we've amped up our video surveillance, our security, our undercover security. We know fans are going to get excited and you know, they're going to want to remember this stadium, and we're trying to be proactive with that. To share, you know, here's the plan, guys. You don't have to, you know, try to break seats and steal stuff off the walls, that kind of thing. We're going to have a program for you to do it the right way. And by the way, we need those items in place because we have a full season ahead,
right,
and we have hopeful playoff games in January. So we want to keep the stadium intact.
So don't take the memorabilia into your own hands is what you're saying, basically.
Please, yeah. And thank you.
All right. Yeah. Andy Major joining us here on a Football Friday. Andy, thanks for the time, and best of luck this season. I'm sure we'll talk again before it's through.
Hey, guys, really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much, and go Bills. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Andy Major, the Bills Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience. Coming up at 9:30, we're going to get some of the new food items that are coming in. Excited about that.
Oh, that's 1 hour.
Yeah.
I didn't eat anything this morning.
Perfect.
Although I really never eat.
Good plan.
Breakfast. So.
He mentioned Deion Dawkins is doing a social media rollout of this gift, this season ticket holder gift that fans are going to get. There's also an event coming up I wanted to tell you about. There's going to be a watch party week 2. So next week the Bills play the Jets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in partnership with Dion's Dreamers, there's going to be a watch party at the, what is it here? At like the Richardson Complex, 444 Forest Avenue. Okay. So you can basically go and there'll be food trucks. It's family friendly, kids, dogs, anything. Food trucks, a lot of food trucks. Tap and craft beer, a tent for food. So it's coming up Sunday of the Jets game. They're on the road. If you want to go to this event, looks like a good time. So jump into that if you want to. Again, Dion Streamer's putting on an event that'll be at the Richardson Complex. So out on the lawn, big screen TV, watch the game. If the weather is beautiful, which it probably will be because this is the elite season, then you've got yourself a good time. So there you go. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Chris Brown coming up in about 5 minutes as we gear up for this Football Friday and take you to kickoff. Also about pregame. Sorry, I meant to mention this. So GR's pregame, it's a 8:20 game. Our pregame starts at 1 back here in studio, but starting at 3 o'clock, and we're doing this for a couple games this year. Like Nate and I are on at 3. You come in at 5. Mm-hmm. We are not going to be in the press box. We're going to be out in a tent. We've done that before, kind of out in the lots a little bit instead of up in the press box. So excited to do that. Definitely. Right out in front of the store.
Definitely. Especially with the weather this time of year. We'll see how exciting that will be in the heat of December, the middle of December.
There's
heaters and stuff.
Though. We definitely at one point did all of our post-game, all of our pre-game in the elements. But there'd be years I'm doing pre-game where we are not, like, the games are not on our station. We're just in some lot with a blowtorch heating device throwing. Oh, yeah. Just doing pre-game, wearing 7 layers.
Yep.
All right, that's drought bills, too.
With a tent?
Yeah.
So you at least had a tent.
A tent and a blowtorch, heat, propane, jet engine, like whatever. Just
torpedo heater.
Yeah, there you go. You have one of those?
Torpedo heater.
Dad does. I don't personally own one.
My father-in-law has one. They are pretty great. But you cannot, if you stand in front of it, it'll melt your coat like a jet engine. Over the years of our tailgates, camper lot, wherever we are, we definitely have, there'll be every couple of years, someone's coat, they're standing in the wrong spot. Like, oh, yeah, it looks like you got too close to the torpedo.
It'll melt?
Here. Oh, yeah.
Are these the things they have on the sidelines?
No.
Those are just big heaters of fans?
I shouldn't say that. I don't know what they have on the sidelines.
They stand in front of them, so maybe it's that's why I'm thinking maybe it's different. Because you will see players standing right in front of those heaters.
Okay.
I think.
It might be the same thing. But I feel like you wouldn't want something like this. You really don't want these torpedo heaters anywhere near people.
They actually look like a big industrial version of this, but maybe like with different...
The sideline ones?
Yeah, right, I'm looking at a picture of one right now, and it looks similar, but it's not exactly the same.
Like you wouldn't want someone that's like running off the field, gets pushed out of bounds. Last night this happened. Jalen Hurts got pushed into a cameraman. You get pushed into this heater, and it's just like, immediate melting of the jersey and maybe worse.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want that at all. 803-0550. Chargers and Chiefs tonight. Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner on the call. Meanwhile, Tarico Collinsworth, the Sunday night crew, they're on the game last night. Are they flying in today? Into town today and ready for their...
I would imagine, unless they're taking a... Because they were in Philly last night, right? So,
get in town, extra day. Get ready for Bills Ravens.
Collinsworth. He's starting to drive me nuts. More than, like, I was never a big hater of Collinsworth. But now, I don't know, every year I feel like it's getting a little worse and worse. And I'm not even just doing the, he just compares everybody to Mahomes thing.
Yeah, for me...
He said the thing about Parsons yesterday. It was provably untrue about how, if they'd signed Parsons, then a third of their salary cap would have been 3 players. Like, no, wouldn't have. You don't know how contracts in the league work if you think Parsons would have been a $50 million cap hit this season.
Right. I mean, to make that point in a game when you're playing the Eagles, who have the most awesome players all signed to these big contracts and their cap hits are all low.
It's like he was reading off a page that Jerry Jones had written for him and slipped them in a commercial.
Have you noticed there's been a little bit of that? All of a sudden there's like, oh, you know what? Actually, Parsons might have been kind of not a great guy, kind of a diva, kind of maybe teammates didn't like him. Like, all right.
That's Jerry.
That's right. That's
Jerry's. He's slipping little notes to everybody.
Yeah, you trade a guy, you got to go for a little bit of character assassination, you know. That's how it works.
So, guys, I don't know how valuable you think. First-round picks? 2 first-round picks?
The back injury, though, he has a back issue, right? If you're a Packers fan, you might be a little nervous about that.
Anyway, all right, we'll be back in a snap. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. And we'll get into the matchup, Bills and Ravens, what to expect. Chris Brown joins us on the other side for part of our Football Friday coverage. Chris joins us Fridays and Mondays, depending on when the game is. If the game's on a Thursday, we'll talk on a Thursday, you know. But Chris Brown coming up next here on WGR on Football Friday.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Northtown Volkswagen, Western New York's number one VW dealership. Shop online at northtownvw.com. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact footwear and apparel for hardworking men and women.
Football Friday here on WGR, getting ready for Sunday Night Football. NFL season opened last night with the Sunday Night Football team in Philadelphia. They make their way here for Bills Ravens, and we're going to talk about it with Chris Brown, lead play-by-play of the Buffalo Bills on the Bills Radio Network. And, of course, you'll hear the game here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brownie, good morning. Welcome to another exciting season. And, you know, one of these years, it's going to be the year. Why not this one, right?
I'm on board. Let's do it.
That's right.
Right? It's just that easy.
Yeah. Let's hope. Well, the matchup right out of the gate is not an easy one. You know, every team's an NFL team. You're tough matchups, but Baltimore presents a lot of challenges. You know, these two teams met in the playoffs last year, close game. And I wonder, you know, I feel like Bills fans are eager to see this new look defense, but they kind of have to wait a little while to see the new look defense because they really are missing a bunch of pieces in this opener, this big test.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White not trending upwards, at least not yet. You know, you can cross your fingers for today, but hasn't been able to practice. It certainly was a good sign that Christian Benford practiced fully yesterday. Hopefully he can follow that up with another full day of practice today, and then he should be available for the game. But, yeah, it's been a little disjointed on the back end due to lack of player availability because of injury, and I think the pressure is going to be on the defensive line to take some of the heat off of the back end and get some pressure on Lamar Jackson, force him into some hurried throws, and really, you know, stop the run to set up long down and distance situations. So the onus is on, you know, the heavily invested defensive front, three new free agents, two of which aren't available, due to suspension, and then three new draft choices. That's where the pressure lies, I think, guys, in this one, to take the heat off the back end, which might be a little shorthanded.
How much of that is up to Bosa for you, given that a couple of the other guys are rookies, unless you've seen one of those rookies that makes you think that, like, right out of the gates, we should expect that that player is going to be performing?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you come in with a resume like his, there are expectations. You know, injury history, put that on the side. I mean, the guy is a preeminent pass rusher, and they're expecting him to be that for them this year. It feels like he's been around forever, and, you know, he's only 29. I mean, when the Bills signed Von Miller, he was 32, going on his 33rd birthday. This is a younger player. Yes, he has an injury history, but I think everybody's hopeful that, you know, he can put a good, healthy season together, and if he does, you know, you're expecting double-digit sacks from him. So, yeah, I think they're expecting an early and noticeable impact.
To the defensive line on the interior, you know, you have some returning vets, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver. With Sanders and Deion Walker, you know, what do you feel like should be expectations for them early here? I feel like with Walker, he's really impressed in camp. Just because the injury coming in, maybe people had a bit of a, I don't know, just a realistic how long it might take him to come back. But the fact that he got kind of cleared full go and has really flashed in the preseason, I feel like Walker is, I don't know if ahead of schedule would be the right way to say it, but I'm eager to see him out there along with Sanders, of course.
Yeah, they've got a lot of learning to do, and I think they'd tell you that if you ask them. They're not going to have it all figured out, especially in week one against an opponent of this caliber. There might be some times where they get fooled on a play or they over-pursue, or they don't recognize a screen when it's coming. But the talent is obvious. And I've been encouraged by the way those two players come to practice every day and work. That leads to better results, improving their game, and that's part of the player development that's been so prominent here over the years under Sean McDermott's coaching staff. The players get here and they get better. So they come in with an enormous amount of talent, but then that talent is honed and groomed, and it really turns players into difference makers. And I think those two will be difference makers, you know, maybe not right out of the chute, but I think they'll be noticeable on Sunday. They are a handful in there, and it's a heck of a rookie tandem coming in with your second wave on defense.
You know, kind of game you expect here, teams to commit to the run, kind of take the air out of the ball, possession game or shootout? You have a vibe on this one?
Yeah, I Steve and I were talking about this on One Bills Live yesterday. You know, with the shorthanded nature or the anticipated shorthanded nature of the back end of the defense for the Bills, we're kind of wondering if Buffalo takes a similar approach to the one they took in the playoff game, guys. Like, they ran the ball 36 times in the AFC divisional playoff, and I think it's because they knew they were a little deficient on defense. Now, I think the defense as a whole is improved, but because of the unknowns of the secondary in terms of player availability, you wonder if they take a similar approach to kind of shorten the game and, you know, essentially put together long drives, limit the number of possessions for the Ravens offense.
And they did that effectively in the playoff game. The last two drives, I think like 11 plays and 10 plays, and it was just you know, sometimes 3 yards in a cloud of dust is used to, you know, slam an offense for not being very effective. But it's pretty much what they did in the playoff game, and it did work in the way they wanted to, getting all the way down to the 2 yard line before they ultimately kicked the field goal to go up.
Yeah.
So,
and that was the number one run defense last year, guys.
Yeah, they showed a commitment. And the same three backs are back. I had someone ask me if I thought this year James Cook, now that he's got the contract, will he see a little larger role? Will he see more carries? And my answer to that was no, Chris. I wonder if you feel the same. That they just kind of like what they've got with those three and would expect pretty close to the same as what we saw from that group last year.
Yeah, and when Josh Allen says, you know, Ty Johnson's the best third down back in the league, I tend to think he's not coming out on third down.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, though, does Joe Brady find a more creative way to incorporate James Cook into the third down package? Maybe he split out wide. Maybe they have split backs and Ty stays in for protection and James, you know, goes out on a, you know, a check down route or whatever it is. Because I think it was unfortunate that with the team down by three with 2 minutes left in the game in the AFC Championship game, that James Cook was not on the field when he was one of the most dynamic weapons that was working in that game. I understand you have certain personnel for certain situations, but, I mean, it's the AFC title game. Get James on the field in some capacity. I'm curious to see if Joe Brady gets a little more creative and decides to utilize him in a different way on third down.
Yeah, the other thing that happened in that playoff game was they didn't take any shots down the field after there was one on the first drive. But they didn't need to, and like it kind of played into their strategy was they're going to make mistakes, we're not going to. So like Coleman doesn't really have much in that game, or Cooper or Hollins either. And Coleman's got this injury that he's dealing with a little bit, Chris. But Palmer coming in, I wonder if the game script is different. Maybe the Bills feel like they have to take a couple more shots, because again, it's just something they did not do in that playoff game.
Yeah, and it's hard to do that league-wide because everybody kind of plays top-down defense now, especially against elite quarterbacks. And it's hard to, you know, get defenses to a point where they will bite up. But if you're running it effectively enough, yeah, maybe you can get an extra guy in the box and catch him in a single safety high, and you like your matchup and you take a shot. It's going to be interesting to see how these two coordinators operate against two defenses that I anticipate are going to try to keep everything in front of them.
Chris, it also marks the last year at current Highmark Stadium. How much of are you feeling that? Like the farewell tour of sorts?
Yeah, it hasn't really hit me yet. I think as we get further into the season here, like once the calendar turns to November and you suddenly realize like, oh, geez, there's only three regular season games left in this place, I think that's when I'll kind of be waxing a bit more nostalgic. along with, you know, presumably a lot of other fans at that point, that's when I think it's really going to hit that, you know, we're running out of games in this place. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Sunday is the last home opener ever.
Do you have a favorite home opener?
I think it's always going to be 2003 for me.
Patriots 31-0.
31-0. Brady with four interceptions. Nate Clements with an absolute lights-out hit on Brady in that game. I could still see Sam Adams running to the end zone, high-stepping in the last 3 yards, you know, doing a little strut there. And I know I've told you guys this before, that is still the loudest I have ever heard that stadium. I mean, that's back when the press box was at midfield,
yep.
And the glass on the press box was literally vibrating because it was so loud.
I just love
– that's probably mine.
Yeah, I just love that inside of a cheer for a pick six, when it's caught by the big man, you can kind of hear the gasp of the crowd. It's like, oh, my – it's him. Let's see if we get
this.
He's
running.
Yeah, look at this.
And he might make it.
Yeah, right. It's joy and disbelief at the same time, so – all right, Chris Brown joining us here on this Football Friday. Chris, thanks for the time. Enjoy the game, and we'll chat about it on Monday. We'll wrap it up.
All right, we'll see you guys out there Sunday.
Yep, Chris Brown, play-by-play man of the Bills. Of course, you can hear him on One Bills Live. Football Friday. Chris Brown's appearance on Football Friday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Northtown Volkswagen, Western New York's number one VW dealership. Shop online at northtownvw.com. And by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. One quick note here. We owe you who's got to get results. You know, we talked to Andy Major in the 8 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock, so we're going to, you know, throughout the football season, do who needs to get results. Brought to you by Dan Chacha Attorneys. Who needs to get results? It's Dan Chacha. Don't worry. Chacha's gotcha. And as we kind of lay that out with Chris there, someone on defense, whether it's the front, someone's got to make life tough, because I think we're all kind of feeling this defense that we're waiting to see the next version of it. It's missing key pieces, suspensions, injuries, and going to be pieced together. The defense going to have to find a way to get their stops, and I'm a little nervous about coming in Monday and people calling saying, like, they gave up 32?
Mm-hmm.
Byron McDermott. Like, he's got as tough a task as maybe anyone in the league this week. Would that be unfair? You have so many pieces missing on defense for week one.
Yeah.
And you're not playing the Dolphins. You're not playing multi-dimensional force. So
it's a total pick your poison offense.
Yep. And you're at home.
The idea of stopping everything, even the playoff game was an example of this. You are not going to stop everything.
Yep.
You got to pick which thing you're going to kind of let them have.
So someone on the defense got to do it, got to get results. It's brought to you by Dan Chacha, Injury Attorneys. Don't worry, Chacha's gotcha. All right, 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Open phone lines pretty much the rest of the way. We'll get your calls in. SCAF, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy, and much more to come here on Football Friday on WGR.
Something. Their defense had a three and out. Reward them for it.
Intercepted. Picked off right side. Here goes Sid. Sam. And
great moments in Bills home openers. Remembering that play with Chris Brown moments ago. We just watched the highlight, and there are a lot of little highlights within the highlight, including Drew Bledsoe going over to Adams and putting his arm like he's carrying him off the field, and Adams pushing him away.
Uh-huh.
Joe also found that Sam Adams had another thick six in his career.
He did.
With Seattle.
98 Seattle against Troy Aikman.
Ah. And Adams, in that play, we have since discovered, he has a signature high step.
He does.
Hand behind the head. He did the same high step with the Bills.
Yeah.
This guy had two pick sixes, and he had this move ready.
5 years apart. He knew. Like, I guess maybe he would have done it more.
Yeah. Vintage. Beautiful stuff.
He knew. I guess he just knew coming into the league. And if I ever get a touchdown.
The coach, get the ball in my hands.
Yeah. Like, would TJ Sanders know right now, like, what he would do if he had a pick six?
Let's get a bet board. Let's get something on the bet board right now. You want yes or no, Deion Walker gets a pick six in his career?
In his entire career? I would say no.
It's unlikely, right, for any tackle to get a pick six. Tough, but
yeah.
Anyway. Gina in Delaware. Hey, Gina, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Happy Football Friday. And I just want to say I'm feeling the love. I'm riding this wave with you all here in Ravens country. Believe me, I'm supporting you pride over here. I am keeping my eye on this here. My big happenings need to be seen from Kincaid and Coleman. That's who my eyes are. I'm excited this year for Josh, maybe a little bit mature Josh, but certainly a Josh that wants to run that ball down your throat, that wants to get that hunger, and that wants to win. I heard you all play my voice through the segment, and yes, the joy and the pain, but I'm done with the pain. I'm going on 60 years old next year. I need to win a Super Bowl. So this is our year. Let's do this, and I feel your energy of the stadium. The last season and the stadium. Now I'm watching y'all from afar and I'm feeling your energies from afar, but I'm feeling that sadness. So let's make this a great year. And a shout out to Joe at Dash's parking lot who saw my truck and put two and two together and said, hey, aren't you the girl that calls Jeremy and Joe? So shout out to Joe. Shout out to everybody in Buffalo and let's get it. Go Bill.
Gina, give us a woosah.
Woosah. No woosah today, guys. No woosah. There is no woosah, but as the season goes on, I will try to woosah. But today, let's get it.
All
let's
right.
feel the energy and go Bills.
Thanks, Gina. Yeah, woosah is to calm you down. So, like, if they lose Monday, it's woosah. Woosah, right? Relax. Thanks, woosah. Gina. Now it's football season. Now we're ready. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. The Super Good American Football Friday Frenzy will run through the week's games. Hey, the Chiefs are on tonight. That's great. And for the first time in franchise history, they are not playing at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing. I'm excited to see them tonight. Not play at Arrowhead Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have road uniforms? Do they have to make some for this game?
Well, they might be all white in Kansas City.
This bit kind of died when they came here and won the playoffs. But I'm not – I don't care.
Yeah, a little. Took the steam out of it.
I'm sticking to it. Why not? We can have nice things. Side note, the Seattle Kraken's new alternate jersey is a masterpiece. Just wanted to get that
in. Oh, it got dropped?
Masterpiece.
Okay.
It's incredible. It's perfect. It's unbelievably great. So go check that out if you want to. Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy next.